This episode is sponsored by Pelton's Underwear, protecting that which matters most. Hello and welcome to the midweek edition of the Springbok Supporter Support group, formerly known as that, now currently known as the Springbok Supporters Podcast, which I have to learn to pronounce properly. And this is the Springbok Supporters, the Springbok Supporters Podcast News Midweek Edition. I wish I knew how to make things shorter. Your host, you don't know who I am. Maybe that's the way it should be. And hold on a second. I'm trying to come up with my notes here. Oh, yeah. And we're just so happy to be back. Trying to come up with more podcasts in general because I've been accused of not podcasting enough. So now prepare to have podcasts like you can't believe. Yeah, I'm going to podcast like you, like Mo, stop podcasting, okay? This is way too much podcasting. So I'm going to Joe Rogan podcast. Joe Rogan's going to call me and say, here's an idea, podcast less by the time I'm done with what I want to do. But yeah, one's got to get more podcasts out there. Next week, we're going to have our good friend Ben Plum on the show. Super excited. He's going to wrap up the pool stages sort of, stage, I suppose, of the Rugby World Cup. And that's going to be fantastic. He's also going to be at one of the games. If you don't know who Ben Plum is, check out one of our earlier shows. He was at the last World Cup. He's a great Englishman and a phenomenal director in England. He's got a whole bunch of really cool films out that I've had the pleasure of seeing. Oh, excuse me, but a major enthusiastic fan when it comes to rugby. Obviously, he's English and, England haven't done as well so far. But, geez, England aren't out at all. In fact, England are so sort of the underdogs at this World Cup that they could just possibly make it to the final without anybody going, whoa. Who's in the final? England. Like, that could happen. Okay. England-South Africa final. Geez, how amazing would that be? I don't know who England would have to beat, though, to get there. That is curious. If England had to beat, like, Australia, who? Oh, my goodness. I wish I knew anything about rugby to work that out. But let's have an idea. Let's have a scenario in this life where England make it to the World Cup final, and then Ben and I could relive our 2019 rematch, situation. Okay, so this is a news edition, and so I've written down some news stuff here that I want to read because this is what you have to do in order to have a successful podcast. You're going to come up with rubbish basically all the time, but I'm going to try and make it at least entertaining for you guys. Okay, Anton de Paul's back, just about. They say he's back. If you look at the videos, he's sitting in, the training room, like dangling his feet because he's not a very tall man on the seat that he's sitting on. His feet aren't reaching the floor, which is fine. And the rest of the club is playing. Is that being back? He looks like he really wants to be running, but he's told not to run. Why isn't he running? His legs are fine. His cheeks are hurt. His cheeks on his face, that is. Also, Anton de Paul's cheeks, high cheekbones, were always going to get in the way. Can we discuss that? Okay, should we put up a picture of Anton de Paul's face? It's like the time Brody Retallick had to get reconstructive facial surgery. It's like, maybe not such a bad thing. Don't get me wrong, I love Brody Retallick. My favorite Aussie, Kiwi rugby player. He really is. I call all my friends Brody after him, and they'll attest to it. But there was a time when Brody Retallick had to go to reconstructive facial surgery, and I was like, yeah, I don't know if that's such a bad thing for everybody. I don't know if Mrs. Retallick was like, oh no, you look so terrible. Brody looks like a Viking, except Vikings are cool in the Viking era. Vikings now, they look like monsters. That's what Brody looks like. Brody is a mean machine. And Anton Dupont is not that far off. He's got unusually high cheekbones. His cheekbones are always going to get in the way. I'm upset that I didn't do a podcast about it earlier, about a scenario when Anton Dupont's cheekbones basically get destroyed, which has happened now, sadly. But he's making a comeback. There's talks of him wearing a mask. I don't know. I was thinking maybe, it's an interesting thing having a Frenchman wearing a mask during a rugby game. I don't know if that's ever been done before. Zorro is Spanish, right? I just want to clarify. Zorro is Spanish, not French. I don't know if that's ever happened before. Is the oh, you know who might be French? No, that's not French. Jeez. What's that movie with that Natalie Portman? Remember the 4th of November? The 5th of November? Is that guy French? I think that guy might be French, no? This could be that guy. It'll come to me. I forget his name now. Anyway, is everybody happy that Anton Dupont is back? I don't know. I'm happy. The Bucks want to play the best team that they can. Maybe the Bucks are happy. But the thing is, Francois Dupont's substitute number nine, whose name we'll never remember because he is just substituting the greatest rugby player possibly of our generation. That guy must not be happy that. I mean, he must be like, when Francois Dupont was injured, he must have gone to Francois's doctor and be like, listen, let's just not rush anything, you know? Let's make sure he's fit and healthy before he comes back. We really don't want to rush it, okay? I have no idea who that guy is. I don't think he even knows his name, and he probably has never started for France in this World Cup. What a dream come true for Francois Dupont's understudy to come in. I mean, that would be incredible. You know, it's coming back to me. It's the Guy Fawkes guy. There's a movie about that. Oh my goodness. I can't believe I don't remember the Guy Fawkes guy. I'm gonna Google it. Guy Fawkes mask. Guy Fawkes gunpowder. Oh, for goodness sake, what's the name of the movie that they made? Oh, V for Vendetta. Okay, V for Vendetta. Now, Guy Fawkes was la English. Oh, yes. I'm sure there was some French collusion involved here. Ah, no, it's all English. Sorry, French guys. Although I don't have any French listeners. But if you're listening from France, I'm sorry. Okay, well, perhaps he could be like Guy Fawkes. That would be cool. And it would maybe Anton Dupont's understudy reserve guy could pretend to be Anton Dupont, put a mask on and play really well. Nobody would know the difference, you know, and then at the end reveal his mask and then it's the substitute and we'll be like, what? Wow. We thought it was just Anton Dupont that can do this stuff. I don't know. Food for thought. But we're glad he's almost back. I don't think he's going to make the semi-final or the sort of the quarter-final. I think he shouldn't be playing because if he's injured, he's playing against the box, potentially in the semi or whoever else, it's going to be tough. Although he is very good, it's going to be serious business. Alrighty, to the next portion of the news. Conspiracy theories around the permutations, okay, between Ireland and Scotland. I'm not going to get into it. If you've heard about it, you know Scotland have to score at least 8 points. If Scotland put 8 points on Ireland, Ireland are out. Like, it's unbelievable. But Scotland's probably not going to put 8 points on Ireland. 8 points to zero. Is it to zero? No, not even. If Scotland puts more than 8 points on Ireland and Ireland don't have a bonus point, and I know I said I wasn't going to get into it, but if Ireland don't have a bonus point, then Ireland are out. Now, there's a lot of pressure on Ireland, but it's also Ireland, the number one team in the world. They're not that good against the box, but they are a lot better against Scotland. But if somehow through some collusion the guys, through conspiracy theory, they decide to kick the box out. It's technically possible, highly improbable, but this is also expecting a team that this is now Ireland, whose culture and nationality is based around luck, Irish luck. I don't see Ireland going, oh, luckily the box made it through. I see Ireland, I see Ireland playing their game, winning or losing, and going, oh, we were unlucky. We lost against Scotland. How unlucky of us. These aren't the people that are, in my view, these aren't the people that are going to go orchestrate an outcome. These are people that are going to play the best rugby that they can play. And if the box win, they're going to say, oh, the box are so lucky. Oh, the box have a bit of Irish luck. I don't know. What do you guys think? I say, what do you guys think? Because apparently, when you're doing a podcast, you got to ask that so that people comment on stuff. But I don't care. I think the truth is what I'm saying. And if you disagree, keep your comments to yourself, okay? The Irish are not probably going to orchestrate the outcome. I think the Irish are going to do what they do best, which is win. And if the Scots are lucky enough to put 8 points on them and to stop them from scoring a bonus point try or whatever, then it's all going to come down to luck, which is more probable for me. But who knows? If it comes out that the box out, it could be match fixing. It could be. Okay, another news. Lukanu Am is back. Okay, so for this one, I tried to see how many sentences I can put Am in and sort of make it make sense. It's a lot harder than you would think. I said he's amazing. And no, what I should say is it's amazing that he's back. I know. I know. It's unbelievable. He's back. It's a lot harder to come up with it. What about a scenario in where Lukanu Am walks into the training and everybody's like, maybe Rice is giving one of his speeches and he breaks the door down and he goes, I'm back. At least in my mind, that's what I would do, but probably he wouldn't do that. One last one is he left South Africa amicably. I'm trying to come up with sort of less sophisticated words, but I'm a sophisticated guy. I don't know what to do. Oh, one last one. Ambivalent. Ambivalent. Oh, but I just want to say, actually, while I'm here, I actually got the privilege of meeting Lukanu a couple of months ago in person. Such a humble guy. Jeez, down to earth. Just like the most, he's what you see is what you get. With so cool, soft spoken. I couldn't believe that I was so lucky to just have a quick chat with him. One of the best centers in the world, if not the best center, he's the best center in the world. Let's just say it outright. And it was really, really, really special. I'm very blessed. Yeah. Okay. Listen, I'm doing my best. In other news, Eddie Jones at his best. So Eddie Jones somehow has got a World Cup gig lined up with Australia and a potential work gig lined up with Japan. Eddie Jones got gigs lined up. Eddie Jones is a Cape Town DJ in Pretoria North with how many gigs he's got lined up. Actually, no, Pretoria North, Cape Town DJ, that wouldn't have a lot of gigs lined up, to be fair. No, not Pretoria in Cape Town. No, that's not a good one. See, Eddie Jones, Gamola, Pretoria, the Cape Town DJ in Naval? No. A Cape Town DJ, Eddie Jones, has got more gigs lined up than a Cape Town DJ in Rivonia. That could work. I'm gonna go with that. That's Eddie Jones right now. He's got gigs lined up. He's got dual citizenship, I am assuming. He's never admitted it to me, but he's both Japanese and he is both Australian. I didn't know that that was like the place to be. So I'm happy for him. I say, Eddie, go after it, mate. Get after it, mate. You never know, boys. When it's your last game, you never know. You gotta go hard at it, boys. It could be my last job as part of as coaching, as the coach. Okay, I have a terrible Eddie Jones impersonation, guys. I'm working on it, but it's really tough. I actually wrote some. Hold on, let me see what I wrote down here. Mate, I'm Japanese, mate, and I'm Australian. So don't talk to me if you don't know anything about rugby, mate. My best one. Alrighty, that's Eddie Jones. Ian Foster. Can we talk about Fozzie? Oh my goodness. Jeez. Beat Italy, all of a sudden you're the guy, you're the go-to guy about rugby. Wow. I had a lot of respect for Ian Foster. He's under a tremendous amount of pressure, and I think they got it wrong with the style they wanted to play in New Zealand. They wanted to stick to their DNA, which is fine. But your DNA has to evolve with the times a little bit as well. But I get it. You feel your DNA is superior to other DNAs. You want to do a little bit of inbreeding with the DNAs. You inbreed that DNA. You see what you come up with. You come out with an undercooked All Black squad, which is what's happening here. There's a guy in South Africa that said we should stop calling them All Blacks. Just start calling them New Zealand. There's nothing All Blacky about them. I think that's harsh. But Ian Foster's the last guy to tell us how to live our lives. He's come out and said that the world has to decide what kind of rugby they want to listen to. What do they want to watch? They want to watch like a game like how New Zealand played against Italy, or do they watch Ireland and South Africa where the ball was in play for X amount? The guy didn't even go to the length of trying to see how long the game was in play for. Turns out the two games and the Ireland, Australia, South Africa game rather, was way more watched and way more epic than his game of just bulldozing Italy. I mean, for goodness sake, man, it's Italy. Even the Italians are like, geez, relax, wow. We came here, we wanna have a good time, What is this? What's this animosity? Take it all out on Italy. You can't do it against any other tier one team. It means nothing. All right? But anyway, that guy wants to tell us how to live our lives, and he's saying that our game, 2 minutes less, Rassie Erasmus came out and told us that the ball was in play. The ball was in play 2 minutes more in the New Zealand game than what it was in the Ireland South Africa game, which was epic. How many of us watched that New Zealand game? Nobody. Watched the first 10 minutes where the New Zealand scored 100 tries, and we said, okay, thank you. But I dare you to switch the TV off or change the channel when you're watching that Springbok Ireland game, mate. That's a different pedigree of rugby. That is rugby at its finest. Everybody wants to watch champagne rugby, but we're not all from France. Some of us want to watch brandy and Coke rugby. Huh? Some of us want to watch Guinness rugby. Not champagne. You don't throw Guinness around, everybody. You drink your Guinness. You have your brandy and Coke. You cheers. There's an elegance in there. So thanks, Fozzie. We'll take advice from you when you are, I don't know, top two in the world ever. Jeez. And I really felt for him because when he was in South Africa, he was under a lot of pressure, stress. And he was a human being, So I thought, this guy's a human being, guys. The New Zealand guys were so hard on him. The media, not so much the media, but like the public. They were really, really, really hard on him. And I felt for him for that because he is a human being. But then don't, when we just start to get some empathy for you, tell us that our rugby is boring and you're the guy that's giving out advice on it, mate. You listening, getting advice from Ian Foster about rugby is like listening to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory's, Charlie from the Chocolate Factory's uncle that's bedridden about chocolate. Okay, we're going to listen to Willy Wonka. Willy Wonka's a little crazy. Yeah, we're not going to lie. He's a little weird. Okay, Rassie, he's a little out there. But he's the guy we're going to listen. We're not going to listen to the guy that's bedridden that's had a single slab of chocolate in the last 20 years of his life. Ian. Sorry, I didn't realize that I was going to get so emotional about that one. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, I think his insensitivity borders on the cruel. And you know what, guys? Dalton Papali'i. deserves better. Because Dalton Papali'i has to listen to Ian Foster. Dalton Papali'i, who's probably one of the greatest rugby players to come out of New Zealand. I'm not making a dig at Ian Foster. He shot the shots first. I'm just saying, if you're going to shoot at us, mate, we're going to shoot right back, mate. And we're going to shoot hard. We're going to have machine gun fire. Okay, you're going to have to take cover and call for extraction. Okay, we with the amount of shooting, we got 50 calibers. And there's two of them. All right, that's the last one. I'm sorry, guys. I was hoping to keep this under 20 minutes. but 20 minutes and 30 seconds now. All that to say, it's going to be a great show. Next week, we're going to have Ben Plum on. We're going to have the best time of our lives. And I promise you guys are going to enjoy it. And thank you so much for supporting the podcast. Please like, share, all the stuff. Subscribe, ring the bell, everything. And share it to your mates. Tell me what you think, actually. On Spotify, write your comments there. And it'll be great to hear from you what you guys think about how it's all going to go down. I think the Bucks should definitely make the semi-final. We should beat France in it. And we should absolutely go through to win the Rugby World Cup. There's no reason why we shouldn't. We have the highest ceiling, as the Kiwis were asking earlier. We should absolutely dominate any team. We could have beaten Ireland. We should have beaten Ireland to secure our place. But All Blacks are a little bit of our weakness. So for me personally, I think we can beat Ireland. I feel like France. I feel like France in a World Cup year without Anton Dupont and Antamac or whatever. How do I even pronounce it? You can't pronounce my name neither. So we'll be okay. But without those two guys, and in a World Cup that they are hosting under a tremendous amount of pressure against the box, I think we can beat them, and we can beat them really, really, really well. And then once we've beaten them, the French hopefully will get on our side because we beat their team. And then we'll have the French fans, and that'll take us through to the Rugby World Cup final, where we'll beat everybody back to back and then drink out of that trophy on that bus tour in Cape Town again. So for myself, Mo, it's been a privilege. Looking forward to you guys' comments, and let's see you next time.